It's a very strange topic. I would like to start by narrating a story which was an inspiration to choose this topic. It's a true story, story of a taxi driver. Imagine one of a Mumbai taxi wala. You are waiting to get to some destination, and then this taxi driver comes out of his seat, opens the door for you, and then helps you sit in. And then he asks, where would you like to go? Now, we all have an experience sometimes, or in certain times of the day, no matter which taxi wala you ask, they're not just ready to go anywhere. They will sit there, but they'll not come anywhere. But this taxi wala was different. He was ready to take the passenger anywhere he was destined to go. Not just that, once he sits inside the car, inside the taxi, the cab driver, the taxi wala asks, if you would like to have some water, I have a Bisleri bottle inside. Or if you would like to have a soft drink, I have maybe Maza and something else kept. So you could choose whichever you want. This passenger is aghast. Mumbai taxi wala, kya zamana aa gaya? Not just that. He hands him a card and then says that these are the FM stations that is available on my stereo. You can choose whichever you would like to hear. Or you would like to be alone and left to your thoughts, that's also fine. And this man was terribly surprised. Then he asked a question. Is this always the way you've served your passengers? Because you just stand out of the many. So the taxi driver revealed that this was not the way I have always been. I was always like the other taxi drivers who would just do their duties. Sometimes they crib about their life, never satisfied with their income, and sometimes even being rough with the traffic police, with the passengers, and so on. But one fine day, he heard a very inspirational speech wherein the speaker was saying how if you start your day expecting to have a bad day, then you will very rarely disappoint yourself, which means that you will end up having a bad day. So if you keep complaining about your life, then it's very often that you don't make any progress. When I heard that, I thought that I should make a difference in the people's lives. And that's when I started making myself different, or dealing with my passengers differently. So a duck is, nobody would come to you and say, oh, your voice is so beautiful, like that of a duck. If somebody did that, perhaps you will think he's being sarcastic, right? So a duck's quack is compared to that of a complaining attitude. So today's discussion is going to be about how to deal with this attitude of ours. We all are, to some degrees, we have this attitude of complaining. Do you all agree? So we will discuss today, in summary, what are the different, why do people complain? What are the things that they complain about? And how can we overcome this tendency? Now, I would like to show you a few video clips. You can see it, and then we will discuss. There are, in general, categories in which people can be divided. So there are four categories of complainers. We'll start with the first one, the whiners.
Smoke.
Oh.
thank you.
Excuse me, ma'am. You'll have to store your package beneath the seat in front of you.
But it'll stick out, and I won't have any room for my feet.
Sir, could you store it beneath the seat in front of you?
But my legs are longer than hers.
So, what do you understand from this video? Anyone raise your hands? What was the characteristic of those two people? I'm sorry? Yeah, they're always complaining, never satisfied with anything. So, each of these categories also has a phrase, a telltale phrase that characterizes them. So, whiners, they have a phrase, life is never fair, right? So this is the first type. The second category are called the martyrs or the self-pity people. We'll see the next clip. Please hear the words.
Well, what about me? I mean, who was looking out for me? And the fights I got into over that. They always took his side. I mean, I tried, but it made my blood boil. I mean, I worked hard around the place. I mean, look at my hands. Look at them, they're not soft like his. I mean, but what thanks did I ever get? But it wasn't always like that. I mean, there were times when we had so much fun. I mean, I hated him. I still do, but what have I done? mean, I suppose it wasn't him so much, it was me. I annoyed me. I mean, things always went right for him, never for me. And I hate him for that. I mean, I hate Mum and Dad for that, and I hate God for that. I mean, you've got to live up to everyone's expectations. It's not fair. What about me? What about me? I don't know. I suppose that day something just...
So, self-pity people. What was he saying? Always concerned about, what about me? Right? They're always concerned that life is wrong. Everything is going wrong with their own life. So the telltale phrase for this category is, nobody appreciates me. Right? Now the next clip is about the cynic. We'll see and then we'll discuss further.
नवानि दुर्नाति नरो पुराणि तथा शरीराणि विहाय जीर्णानि यन्यानि सुन्याति नवानि देहि. जिस प्रकार मनुष्य पुराने वस्त्रों को त्याग कर नए वस्त्र धारण करता है, उसी प्रकार आत्मा पुराने तथा व्यर्थ के शरीरों को त्याग कर नवीन भौतिक शरीर धारण करता है.
Just listen to the lady's words.
Please come in. बैठे. इस हॉस्पिटल की एडमिनिस्ट्रेटर होने के नाते मैं आपको एक सलाह दे सकती हूँ.
बताइए.
आप अपने बाबा जी को घर क्यों नहीं ले जाते? अब इससे ज्यादा उनकी तबीयत ठीक होने वाली नहीं है. यहाँ रखकर आप खामोखा अपने पैसे वेस्ट कर रहे हैं.
मेरा उनकी तरफ फर्ज बनता है, आई ओवर टू हिम.
लेकिन मेरी स्टाफ की तरफ तो आपका कोई फर्ज नहीं बनता. आई मीन, आप जो उनके लिए इतने सारे फ्रूट्स लाते हैं, वो आधे से ज्यादा तो मेरा स्टाफ खा लेता है.
अरे वो तो मैं इसलिए ले आता हूँ ताकि वो बाबा जी का अच्छी तरह से ख्याल रखें.
तो आप मेरी स्टाफ को चोरी करना सिखा रहे हैं. देखिए, आज यहाँ से करते हैं, कल किसी और पेशेंट की चोरी करेंगे.
अभी मैं आपको एक सलाह दूँ
जी,
आप उनकी तनख्वाह बढ़ा दीजिए तो वो ऐसी हरकत करने की जरूरत ही नहीं करेंगे.
मिस्टर समीर, नाउ यू आर टेलिंग मी हाउ आई शुड रन माई हॉस्पिटल. एनीवे, आप इन छोटे लोगों को जानते नहीं हैं. ये लोग बहुत काम चोर होते हैं और फिर इन हरकतों से हॉस्पिटल की बदनामी हो जाती है.
सुषमा जी, बड़ी हैरानी की बात है कि पायरेटेड फिल्म्स आप देखते हैं, ब्लैक मनी इकट्ठा करने के लिए कैश आप लेते हैं, लेकिन सोसाइटी की जितने भी प्रॉब्लम्स हैं आपके अलावा बाकी सब जिम्मेदार हैं. अगर आपके बच्चे बदतमीज हो जाए तो टीवी सीरियल जिम्मेदार. अगर आपके बच्चों की आदतें खराब हो जाए तो फिल्म वाले जिम्मेदार. और अगर आपके अस्पताल में कुछ बदनामी हो जाए तो छोटे लोग जिम्मेदार. बस दूध की धुली तो आप ही हैं.
सो इफ यू मार्क द लेडीज वर्ड्स, व्हाट डज इट इंडिकेट? सिनिक्स टेल-टेल फ्रेजेस. Nothing is ever going to change. The world is going to remain as it is. In today's world, I could give an example. When Mr. Anna Hazare started with the Lokpal drive, there were so many Indians who thought, Anna Hazare ji chahe jo bhi kar lein, India ka corruption bana hi rahega, right? So that is a cynic's attitude. The last or the fourth category of complainers are called the perfectionists. For a perfectionist, nothing is ever good enough. For them, the telltale phrase is this the best you can do? And most often, parents come under this category. For them, the child is never doing his best. Do you all agree? Don't tell this to your parents. Huh? To illustrate this with a story, there was an 8-year-old kid who came home with her report card and gave it to her father. Now, the father saw the marks and he was happy. He was happy that she got good grades. And he noticed at the end of her report card, a note from her teacher. The teacher said, that your daughter Nina is a very smart child, but she has one problem. She nags around. She's a very nagging kind of a person. And I have an idea, and I'm going to try it out on her. And I'm sure that she's going to get over this habit. Now, this father signed the report card and mentioned a note to the teacher. He said, "Oh, my dear teacher, let me know if your idea works on my daughter, because I would like to try it on my wife." So how many of us here have experienced in our life a very difficult situation after having, like, we have thought and done all our best to prevent such setbacks, but the setbacks do come in our life, and we often are bogged down by them. All of you agree? One such person was Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra was always complaining about his situation. "If only I was not blind, I would have been the rightful king. If only I was not blind, my kingdom would have gone to Duryodhana without any strife." Now, interestingly, Dhritarashtra has a very enlightening past. We've heard from scriptures that Dhritarashtra, in some lifetime in the past, had been a hunter. As a hunter, he had killed 100 baby birds. Not just that, he also blinded the parent birds. This was in some particular lifetime in the past. Now, after many such lifetimes, he was born as King Dhritarashtra. Now, you may wonder, why is such a big gap? My dear friends, it is said in order to have one son, a lot of punya karma is required. So, Dhritarashtra, after his lifetime as a hunter, may have had many other births where he did many pious activities, for which he was blessed to have 100 sons in his current life. But because of that sinful activity of having killed those birds and blinded the parent birds, he himself was born blind. His wife Gandhari willfully blindfolded herself all her life. And as we all know, all his children were killed in the battle of Kurukshetra. So, our situation that we are facing today has some past to it. It is we ourselves who are to blame for the current situation, right? I assume that all of you accept and understand the theory of reincarnation. In case you don't, then I strongly recommend that you attend the Journey of Self-Discovery course that our temple conducts. It's very interesting. Now, another such very revealing pastime comes in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein the personality of Kali is brutally torturing a very innocent bull and cow. So much that he was cutting off the legs of the bull. This bull was none other than religion personified, Dharma himself. When the righteous king Maharaj Parikshit saw this happening, he was ready to immediately kill the Kali personified. However, before awarding a punishment, you need a witness, right? So he spoke to the bull personified and requested, "My dear bull, my dear Dharma, please identify the perpetrator of your miseries." It was very obvious. There was this personality of Kali with bloody hands. He had his weapons, which were also bloody, and there were missing body parts of the cow and the bull. It was very obvious. Yet, marvelously, religion personified chose not to identify the perpetrator of his miseries. He said, "Actually, there is only one cause of suffering. We are all to suffer of the choices that we ourselves make." Very interesting. So, my friends, we all have a choice either to be a duck or to be an eagle. If you break the word blame, what do we get? We get be lame, right? If we keep blaming our situation, we become lame, as in we don't make any progress, any tangible progress in our life. I was studying about the characteristics of an eagle, and I came across a very interesting set of qualities. I would just like to read them out. Eagle-like personalities are generally visionaries. They are trendsetters and pioneers with strong mental faculties that enables them to come up with new ideas. They can handle tough problems, and they can see solutions which others cannot. Very beautiful, right? So when we are faced with situation, difficult situation, we have to look upon eagle-like personalities for help. Let us go through a two-step process for overcoming this tendency of complaining. All of us go through bad times in our health, right? So when we fall sick, what do? First of all, we have to identify what sickness we have. We have to understand that we are sick with something particular disease. And then we have to approach a qualified doctor and follow the prescription he gives. Do you all agree? Similarly, this disease of complaining or any such bad trait that we have in our life also has a similar approach. First step is understand the root cause of a problem. In the Bhagavad Gita 3rd chapter, Krishna explains to Arjuna a very beautiful verse. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah ahankara vimudhatma karta aham iti manyate. Translation is as follows. The spirit soul, bewildered by the influence of the false ego, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by the three modes of material nature. There was once a lady who goes to a psychiatrist with a complaint. She says, "My dear doctor, I can never make friends. Please help me with this problem. I just cannot make friends." So the doctor very compassionately asks, "Why do you think this is a problem, my lady? Why do you think this is the case?" The lady burst out, "I don't know, you stupid, ugly, fat idiot." And the doctor was aghast. So, like this lady, all of us have something called a false ego. All of us are going through something called a identity crisis. This lady was trying to, first of all, she perhaps didn't understand the problem well. Secondly, she also could not take the advice, or she wasn't even ready to seek advice from this person who was a psychiatrist. So, unless you find out the root cause of a problem, we cannot really achieve on a solution. Just like if there is a boil on the hand, right, one solution could be to apply ointment on it. And it may disappear from that place, and again it can appear on another part of the body. So the root cause of the problem is there is impurity in the blood. And unless you treat that, you are bound to get repeated boils, right, on your body. So the root cause of the problem is we are all going through something called an identity crisis. We identify ourselves with this body, which we are not. We are, as Krishna says in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, "Mamai vamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana." We are all part and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like if there is a machine is made up of many spare parts, right? If there is a malfunction because of a spare part, if the spare part gets removed or falls apart from the machine, then the machine is not going to function. Or in other words, the utility of the spare part is understood only in connection with the machine. Similarly, all of us, we can really live our life to the fullest worth, fullest satisfaction, only if we understand our relationship with the Supreme Lord. Now, an example of if you all can give me an example from Mahabharata of a highly chaste lady. Whose name comes to your mind first? Anyone? Kunti, okay. Anybody else? Draupadi, okay. What about Gandhari? Gandhari was not an ordinary lady. It is not easy to willfully blindfold yourself for the rest of your life in order to serve her husband. Yet, even a person as high of such a high caliber like Gandhari At the end of the battle of Kurukshetra, when all her sons were killed, she accused Krishna. She did not understand why she was going through that situation. She accused Krishna, if it was not for you, this battle wouldn't have happened. And if you really thought it was possible, you could have stopped this war. And then she ended up cursing Krishna. Right? So, now we'll discuss three categories of people. First is an accuser. For whatever happens in your life, you accuse the other. He is the cause or she is the cause of suffering. Second category of people is the excuser. You always find an excuse. You may blame the situation, you may blame the society around you, you may blame the environmental condition, you may blame the politics around you, and then you don't take responsibility of the actions. But the third category, a very nice category of people, are the choosers. Choosers are those who accept responsibility of whatever is happening in their life and willfully agree to be guided by the eagle-like personalities. Without guidance, we cannot progress in life. We will see how guidance helps us. The first step process was to accept and understand the root problem. Now the second step is to accept the solution. Krishna in the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita explains, Brahmanyadhaya karmani sangam tyaktva karoti yaha lupyate na sa papena padma patram ivambhasa. Translation is as follows. One who performs his duty without attachment, surrendering the results unto the Supreme Lord, is unaffected by the sinful action, just as the lotus leaf is untouched by water. Now we all have to face whatever situation we are given in this world, right? We cannot escape. But with the guidance of the scriptures like Bhagavad Gita and by the bona fide followers of Bhagavad Gita, we can learn to understand how to make the best use of the current situation. Just like there is ego. If there is a false ego, there should also be a true ego, right? So true ego is when we come to the platform of true ego, when we understand that everything belongs to the Supreme Lord. Not just everything, everyone belongs to the Supreme Lord. When it comes to our family, our father, mother, our spouse, children, all of them have a unique connection with the Supreme Lord. Therefore, when we understand this connection, then even when things go wrong in our relationships, we can get the strength to mend them. Just like, why this adherence to scripture is important. Now, whenever we buy a new gadget, say for example, we have bought a microwave oven, what comes along with the machine, it also is accompanied by a user manual, right? Similarly, this complex, extremely complex creation of this world is difficult to understand without reading these bona fide scriptures like the Bhagavad Gita, which is like the user manual. Krishna is giving all the knowledge that we need to understand how this world works, what is our relationship with Him, how is our connection with this world, how should we treat each other, right? All this is very important. So before we take any action or before we make any decisions in life, we have to take support of these immortal words of the Supreme Lord. Just like, there's a very interesting story of a lady, basically a couple who moved into a new neighborhood. They shifted their house and went to a new place. And then she saw from her window that their neighbor, a lady is every day morning putting her clothes to dry. She washes her clothes and was putting her clothes to dry in the sun. So this particular lady, she's telling her husband how dirty her clothes are. Perhaps she should use some other washing soap, or maybe she should try some other washing machine. She just doesn't know how to keep her clothes clean. The husband saw and then he didn't comment. So week after week, day after day, this lady kept on commenting about this neighbor's clothes. But after a few weeks, one fine day, she sees and remarks to her husband, "Oh, look, today her clothes are spotlessly clean. I'm sure she used a different detergent today." The husband very politely replied to her, I don't think there's a problem with her detergent. I just got up a little early and cleaned our windows. So before you judge others, we have to clean our minds, right? We have to check our thought process. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one of the acharyas in our parampara, would keep telling his disciples, every day morning when you get up, beat your mind with shoes, not just once, 100 times. And every day night before going to bed, you have to again beat your mind with a broomstick, not just once, 100 times. What does he mean? We have to keep a check on our minds, keep a check on our intelligence by regularly reading scriptures like the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, and by regularly taking guidance from those who are learned in these scriptures. There is a very, what happens when we do this? Very interesting. When we do this, when we understand the world through the eyes of the scriptures, Shastra Chakshu, what happens? Two things happen. We can understand the situation in the right sense, and also we develop a sense of gratitude. There was once a lady, this is a true story. A pregnant lady was just about to deliver her child. And everybody was keen that she has a normal delivery and avoids a C-section. But as the situation was, she was forced to go for a cesarean. Now all her family members were complaining the hospital, complaining the doctors. Why should you have done this? You know, normal delivery would have been so much better. But lo and behold, they later on came to know that this lady had her brain hemorrhage. And if she had used her energy to push the child through the birth canal, her brain would have burst. So here we see the situation in which she was, and whatever happened was to her own benefit. And therefore, there develops a sense of gratitude. There's another true story of a family, John Smart and his family. Basically, John Smart was a farmer, very meager earnings, and he spent all his life saving money for a pleasure trip. But just on the verge, just 2 days before the pleasure ride, his son was bitten by a dog. And as the case would be, the whole family was quarantined and were disallowed to take the travel. Now this family was blaming God. Why should you have done this, O Lord? We spent all our life savings for this ride. We have never been out together. Were we the only family that you got to give this punishment? Now, my friends, this pleasure trip was to be taken on the unsinkable ship, the Titanic. And had they took this pleasure ride, they wouldn't have been alive. Right? So when we see the world with the eyes of the scriptures, we develop gratitude for whatever situation we are in. And that gives us strength to pull on. There's a very interesting pastime in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, story of Maharaj Prithu. It's very, very nice, very instructive of how this king, very virtuous king, had all the reason to complain. And he was very genuine case. Let us go through this story. This king, for the benefit of his citizens and his kingdom, wanted to undertake the Ashwamedha Yagya. So this king was to undertake the Ashwamedha Yagya for the benefit of his citizens. However, when he was about to undertake the 100th sacrifice, what happened? King Indra, the king of heaven, came and stole away the horse. Because he was extremely envious. King Indra's another name is Shatakratu, one who is famous for having completed 100 Ashwamedha Yagya. And he just couldn't tolerate the fact that another person was competing with him. And he came to and stole away the horse. As he was taking the horse away, Atri Muni happened to observe what was happening. And he complained to Maharaj Prithu's son. He informed him that such a thing is happening. Your father is going to undertake a very pious activity for the benefit of the kingdom, and therefore you should punish Indradev. Now, the interesting fact is, Indra was in disguise. And what did he disguise as? He disguised as a pious sannyasi, which was again a very wrong thing to do, because he's just being a dhongi, right? He's just cheating people. So Maharaj Prithu's son, he chases King Indra, and Indra being, but because Prithu Maharaj's son sees Indra in the guise of a sannyasi, he thinks maybe he's pious and just leaves him. And then this goes on, and again Atrimuni comes to the rescue. He says, you should not have left him because he's doing a wrong thing. He's cheating people in the guise of a sannyasi. Not just that, he's a big obstacle to the welfare of the kingdom. So you must punish. And in this way, two, three times this happened. Finally, Maharaj Prithu himself was brought to the attention. And he, out of his anger, was ready to kill Indra. He had all the genuine reasons to punish Indra. He had all the genuine reasons to complain. But what happened? Brahma, Lord Brahma, who is a Praja, who is a grandfather of every living being, he comes and instructs Prithu Maharaj. He says, my dear King Prithu, let there be only 99 fire sacrifice. Why should you be bothered about the 100th one? You are so learned in scriptures. So don't bother about King Indra. So Maharaj Prithu was thinking. He had all the right to think, what about my kingdom? I was not supposed to do anything wrong. It was for the benefit of my citizens and have all the right to punish Indra. Yet, when Lord Brahma said that forget about the 100th sacrifice, he gave a very due thought to it. By the blessings of Lord Brahma, King Prithu would become even more famous than Indra, and we will see how. When King Prithu understood that this was not to be, he agreed that he'll not do the 100th sacrifice. And what happened because of the submission? Because he acted under the guidance of Brahmaji, Lord Vishnu himself appeared on the sacrificial arena. And a very beautiful dialogue happens between Lord Vishnu and Maharaj Prithu. Lord Krishna says, let there be good fortune to both of you, as in you and Indra, for you and King Indra are both part and parcel of me. Therefore, you should not be angry with King Indra. My dear heroic king, please keep yourself always equipoised and treat people equally, whether they are greater than you or intermediate or lower than you. Do not be disturbed by temporary distress or happiness. Fully control your mind and the senses. In this position, try to execute your duty as a king in whatever condition of life you may be. For your duty is to only give protection to the kingdom and to serve, render your service for my pleasure. Now, suppose there is an argument between two friends and you approach a third party and one of you are completely right. You have no fault to your account and the other person has all the wrongs, all the faults that he has done and he is completely to blame. Now here you are, hoping that the authority or the third person or the guide is going to cut this person left and right. Inko sabak sikhayenge. With that hope you go. But then, all that you receive is instructions for yourself and not a word of correction for the friend of yours. This is what exactly happened with Maharaj Prithu. Lord Brahma and even Lord Krishna himself gave instruction after instruction to Maharaj Prithu, how he should act, how he should not do this, but not a word of correction to Indradev. But let's see what the amazing result was. One more verse of Lord Krishna's instruction. My dear King, what happened was, my dear King, Krishna says, I am very captivated by your elevated qualities, and therefore I am very favorably inclined towards you. Therefore you can ask any benediction from me. Just imagine if Krishna himself comes and says, you can ask anything from me. What a great benediction that is, right? Krishna says, one who does not possess elevated qualities and behavior cannot possibly achieve my favor. But I always remain equipoised in the heart of those who are also equipoised in all circumstances. In this way, Maharaj Prithu, the conqueror of the world, accepted the instructions of the Lord on his head. So when he heard, he submitted to the guidance of the Supreme Lord, of his authorities, which is Lord Brahma, he completely pleased the Lord, because of which he got the strength to forgive Indra. Not just that, Indra himself felt guilty. What happened next was, as Maharaj Prithu submitted himself to Lord Vishnu, King Indra, who was standing next to the Lord, he became completely ashamed of his own activities and fell down at the feet of King Prithu begging forgiveness. Maharaj Prithu gave up all his envy and anger and completely forgave Lord Indra for the acts that he did. So my dear friends, this is what happens when we take guidance, when we approach the eagle-like personalities. They can show us the way. They see beyond what we can see. That is why an eagle is known for its vision, right? So Srila Prabhupada very mercifully, Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya, very mercifully translated these books in various languages of the world and established these temples all around the world. And Srila Prabhupada would call these temples as universities. These temples are not just meant for us to just come, fold our hands in front of the deities, or just put some paisa in the hundi, which is nice, we all must do that. But far beyond this is the fact that these are called spiritual universities, right? We come to these temples to learn the science of Krishna consciousness, and adding Krishna to our lives, in whatever situation we are, we can offer that as a service to the Lord. Whenever we go to school, what we do, the first thing that happens is morning assembly, right? So Krishna has given us that prayer. Prayer is to chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We chant this prayer every day and offer our lives at the feet of the Lord. And then we study scriptures. And we also have teachers. Now, without teachers, it's difficult to understand the books, right? So when we come to temple, we take association of these elevated devotees. And when we offer ourselves to be guided by these people, these advanced souls, then our life can become perfect. I would like to summarize what we discussed today. Firstly, we discussed how we acquire this tendency to complain by virtue of habits. Habit becomes second nature. There was once a lady in the US, this is again a true story. She filed a complaint with the police that here is a neighbor of mine who has tied a dog too close to a pole, because of which the dog did not have enough room to move around. And then this person was, as is the case in the US, cruelty to animals, cruelty to dog especially, or perhaps only dogs or pets, is considered very serious. So a complaint was filed and this person had to pay a very heavy fine. Now this lady was then called for an interview. And the question was asked, "My dear madam, what did you have for lunch today?" And she very proudly replied, "I had hamburger." The interviewer asked her, "Here you are so upset about a dog being tied too close to a pole, but you have no second thoughts on having a cow, innocent cow's throat slit and killed for your lunch to be delivered. Don't you see the connection?" But the fact was, she just couldn't see the connection. Many things we do in our life, many things that are part of our lifestyle, is by means of a habit. It's just habituated and it becomes second nature. Similarly, tendencies like that of complaining attitude become second nature. Secondly, we discussed how the surroundings around us affect us. Now, in this world, most of the times the newspaper is all about wrong things, all negative things. And the words that we hear or read have a very tremendous impact on our consciousness. There's one senior devotee in our congregation, in our movement, His Holiness Jayapataka Swami. Once he had been to Germany and he was giving a program in one devotee's home. And he was so engrossed in talking to the devotees and discussing about Krishna that he actually forgot that he was getting late for his flight. He had to take a flight back to India. And his servant or secretary was given the task of reminding him. And he kept saying, telling Maharaj that, Maharaj, I think we should leave, otherwise we will miss the flight. Maharaj, we should leave, otherwise we will miss the flight. And Jayapataka Maharaj kept telling him, as long as there is even one negative word in your statements, I am not going to budge from this place. And he was told that you have to convey to me in a very positive way, without using any negative words. Why? Because words have very powerful effect on our consciousness. So now he just 10 minutes from his taxi to go to the airport, and this servant is really thinking, what word should I use so that it's positive? Because if you're late, you're going to miss the flight. How can I deny that? And then finally, he got an idea. He said, dear Maharaj, can we leave now so that we can catch the flight? And that's when Maharaj was happy and then he finally left. So habits, we tend to get influenced by the people around us. It is said the vibrations that emanates from a person's personality has that ability to influence people 7 meters across. So therefore, it is just ingrained when people around us are negative, we also tend to be negative. Next, we discussed about 4 types of complainers, right? The whiners, whose telltale phrase is, life is not at all fair. Next, we have the martyrs or the self-pity people, who says, what about me? Third is the cynic, who says, nothing is going to change, aise hi hone wala hai life. And the fourth is a perfectionist. He says, is this the best you can do? Then we saw, we tried to understand how the current situation we are in has a past, has a history to it. As in the case of Maharaj Dhritarashtra. Then we also saw how the current situation in which we are in can give us opportunities for growth. Then we discuss a 2-step process for overcoming this tendency of complaining. What are the steps? First is to understand the root cause of the problem, which is the false ego. Second is to accept the solution, which is to understand our relationship with the Lord and to carry on with our life with that understanding. I just forgot to mention one. Anyways, I'll conclude with that story maybe. And what are the results of taking guidance of scriptures and guidance of devotees? First is we develop gratitude, right? Then we get the strength to make necessary changes in our life, in our consciousness. You see, it is not easy to make changes in our life. We all have been brought up with certain traits, we all have been subjected to certain situations all throughout our life, and suddenly it is difficult to change. It's a gradual process. But when we apply the teachings of Bhagavad Gita in our life, then it becomes a little easy. Third is we become pleasing to the Lord. Just like in the case of Maharaj Prithu, when he accepted guidance from Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu himself came out of being pleased with him. What else can anyone ask for, right? And finally, we get the strength to forgive others. Forgive ourselves and forgive others, which is the most difficult task. I think I would end here. We can take 1 or 2 questions and then we'll have Kirtan. Thank you very much for your attention.
So we'd like to thank Anand Gopi Mataji for her wonderful scholarly presentation. Did you all like it?
Yes.
If you liked it, then loudly say Hari Bol.
Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol!
Amongst all of our speakers, she is one of the most intelligent ones. So first we would take any questions. If anybody has any questions, we'll take 1 or 2 questions. Yeah. Come ahead and speak loudly then.